Welcome back, WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We are positively in Los Angeles, California, home of Super Bowl 56, talking big issues and Super Bowl championships. And I don't know, this guy might be a little disappointed because I saw him on the flight out to Kansas City. We're Facebook friends after all these years. And Lee Steinberg, Patrick Mahomes, and your hometown and all of this. You probably had different plans for this, right?
Oh, it would have been great if Patrick had been here. But you know what? He's young, and he'll have many more years to be able to do it. But I grew up a Ram fan. And my father took us to the L.A. Coliseum. We sat so high in the seats, the $1.50 seats, that you would have needed an electronic telescope to see to see the players. But I fell in love. And then, oddly enough, back in 1994, the team was about to leave and go to St. Louis. And I got 125 businessmen together, and we formed the Committee to Save the Rams. And we fought really hard, and we won the first NFL League vote against them moving. But then a couple months later, they left. So I'd been trying to bring a team back to L.A., and so this is all redemption.
Well, I remember, I mean, first off, the whole super agent and all that, you were all very well established at that point. And I remember vividly, I mean, I've been on the radio 31 years. I remember part of that was you were involved, and there was a thought you would be involved in ownership and in other ways. Boy, that would have changed your life a little bit at that point, right? And the way this story unfolded, and I feel bad I didn't have Sam Farmer on. I was trying to grab him Monday, and he came over. We misconnected. But I remember all these owners' meetings where Sam would go, and there'd be no team in L.A., and maybe one day, and one day, and one day. And the fact that it happened this way, the Super Bowl's here, the Rams are here, pretty dreamy for Roger and the boys putting this together, and Stan Kroenke as well.
Right. And so Los Angeles is a city that likes stars, and the Rams have them. They even have a stadium that's a star. We're a city that likes to go where things are hot, and that stadium's hot. And they win, and they play colorfully, and they're building back the fan base. And if they win, it's still built back to some extent. But if they happen to win on Sunday, it's going to exponentially boost their hold on the Los Angeles market.
Yeah, I was here a couple years ago when they played in the Coliseum. The only time I've ever been in the Coliseum was that game where Weddle was a Ram, and we just ran the ball, and just ran it up. And, you know, at that time, they were selling Lamar Jackson stuff outside the stadium, right? And I wondered if it was ever going to happen. And then I landed here Sunday, and I had to walk the whole length of the convention center to get my pass. I walked down and back, and all I saw were black people, white people, young people, old people, Rams jerseys, old jerseys, new jerseys. And I'm finally at the end, I saw two poor people wearing Chargers jerseys. You know, and I thought to myself, boy, what chance do they have in this? Because the Rams have really stepped into here and said, we're going to be a Dodgers, Lakers kind of brand here, right?
And they have a philosophy, which is not to use draft picks, but to fill in with gifted players. And so, you know, they go out and they get Matt Stafford. They go out and they get Jalen Ramsey. They go out and they get Odell Beckham. I mean, they're and it shows everyone how hard they're trying. And the Chargers are more difficult. Now, remember, the Rams had a period from 1947 to 1994 where they were here. And so they had a fan base from that standpoint.
People your age, for sure. Yeah,
there's a missing generation that was about 20 years. And so, but they're getting reeled back in, too. The Chargers have a tougher job because unless they have a star in Justin Herbert, but unless they win dramatically, it's tough. And what happens here is you have so many people who are transplants. So when the Green Bay Packers or the Kansas City Chiefs or a team comes, they go to the people who own the tickets and they offer them three times as much for one ticket. And it doesn't mean that people are not fans, it just means they're having a one-week windfall.
Well, it's also some sunshine out here. For those of us who may want to visit and play the Chargers or the Rams, come out here and be a part of this. For the Super Bowl itself, NLA, and for what the team has done, you, much like Sam Farmer, were orphaned here for a while over in Marina Del Rey. You know, flying in and out, and your book and your struggles and all. But all this comes together at a time where your vision was for this league to be back here and to be this. It must be fulfilling for you. I guess that was the original root of my question, was like, you could have owned this thing or been a part of this thing a generation ago, but you're still doing well and still own your little stake in all of this, and your team might win a Super Bowl in your hometown.
Exactly.
This week,
and I really, the freedom that having a practice instead of being in one franchise gives me, I've always been resistant to that idea. Right now I have a life where if I want to write a book, if I want to work on a new movie, if I want to
hang out on my show,
if I, if the highlight of my week is the Nestor Aparicio show, yes sir.
Well, you've been on a lot of shows. If I'm the highlight, you must have been on some bad shows. I don't know. Lee Steinberg is here, agent to the stars, and Patrick Mahomes, of course. Being an agent in the modern era, I don't know that I've asked you much about this, but attracting a Mahomes, and you're going to bring a bunch of young people by here that are going to be a part of this whole journey you started with Steve Barkowski a million years ago. How much has it changed in that way? I mean, social media, all these things that young people do, that you've seen three generations where there was no such thing as an agent. That everybody, Drew Rosenhaus, is running around here wanting to be you, and they're making movies, and you've had your issues. Then you come back into this thing. This is a totally different thing than I saw 28 years ago when I came to my first Super Bowl.
Well, the biggest thing that's different is what started in July, which are NILs, which means that all of a sudden, instead of waiting till someone's junior year to talk to them or their parents, now you have to scout high school players who might be dramatic at the collegiate level for name, image, and likeness, and to market them. Because if you don't market, if you're not the marketing agent, as the player comes in, you may never get a chance to represent the player.
Well, I think the other part of that is, what if they don't make it, right? In your way, how many college stars, and I just go through all the Heisman guys that didn't make it, the Torettas, that just go down the list, that never really got paid, right? Or how many college basketball star in their place, but not an NBA fit, you know, really good ACC player, whatever, that there would have been something for them.
But first of all, this NIL has spread much broader than anybody had an idea. I mean, they thought it'd be a few football quarterbacks. It's been women's sports. It's been Phil Knight giving the whole University of Oregon. It's the whole women's program at a Colorado university. It's been 15 people with the first name Sam for Sam's clubs. It's been 15 people with the first name Jack who are athletes for Jack in the Box. It's been pretty broad, and it's spread. The other thing is the predictive factor, for example, at the quarterback position. They start these quarterbacks much younger now, and they are much better trained than they were before. It's why you have the faster starts for the quarterbacks, because they're doing 7-on-7 drills. They're working with private coaches. So they're coming into college football much more trained than they were before. And if they're going to wash out, they probably wash out earlier.
I know at your heart, you're a lawyer. This league and the scandal, and whether it's black coaches last week or it's Dan Snyder the week before that, or quite frankly any year, you know, it doesn't make me feel as good about my association with the league in a lot of ways. You know, I've dedicated my life to this as well. And the way the media has been really, really treated like trash, quite frankly, in recent times. They didn't have water in here for you, for me, for any. Like, I've seen it sort of devolve into not just the money part of it, just the gambling in here alone. I mean, the sets that are in here, that if you had been involved in gambling 15 years ago, they wouldn't allow you to be an agent anymore. The rules have changed.
Or a player, or a coach, or
an official,
a team owner, right.
So I just wonder, and so much of Jerry Maguire and that part of you was about ethics, integrity, doing the things the right way. It would be very easy for this league to do the things the right way and have the right people involved and still make oodles of money. They might make more money in a Love Mark, because people like me wouldn't feel like Maybe they're not the same way I did when I bought that first Steve Barkowski jersey I always tell you about from Sears in 1979. So there. I did, too, and I wore it to roller skating. Girls liked it because it was red. But really, in the stigma for the league used to be players doing things on tour. It still is. But now when it goes to ownership and looking the other way on tanking games, on looking the other way on blackballing players, on looking the other way on mistreating female employees systemically, they better be careful, right? They better be careful. In my mind, they better be careful.
Well, because they're, among other things, so high profile. And the point is, everybody in professional sports lives under a microscope. So while sexual harassment is bad in any workplace, here you've got the symbolic concept that sports, you know, models behavior, and really they have such a great opportunity to make a positive contribution on issues like that, right? And in other words, when I had Lennox Lewis cut a public service announcement that said real men don't hit women, it could do a lot to trigger imitative behavior for rebellious adolescents. Sports needs to be the model. And so, look, occasionally you're going to have an owner, someone who misbehaves, or someone who...
Yeah, that in Los Angeles here with the basketball team.
Right. Occasionally that's going to happen, but you have to vet it and get
they did,
on
right
it.
Away.
Right. And on the racial issues, I mean, it's just unconscionable to have 32 teams and two black head coaches. They need to make an analysis of how the Rooney Rule is not working.
What's a remedy there?
It usually is to work at an earlier point and get more and more and more young African American assistant coaches into the mix. So you get more assistant coaches, you get more coordinators, you have more qualified people, and the rest of it. But you have to distinguish merit from the rest of it. So they still have the right to pick who they think the most talented person is, but it's hard to believe it wouldn't be an advantage in a sport that's 87% black.
87%.
To have that be the to have a black head coach.
Lee, elbows up. Lee Steinberg, H to the stars in your home. I'm going to go over to Marina Del Rey and have some tacos or some sushi before it's all over with. Spend the night in Santa Monica watching the sunset tonight. So appreciate you coming by in your hometown. I've interviewed you everywhere but here, so appreciate it.
Well, we'll have to add to those cities next year. We'll be in Arizona.
And he brings assistants who are Baltimore Ravens fans. Yes, old school Marylanders. We appreciate it. Lee, drop the mic. We'll get you out of here. We're in Los Angeles, California, Super Bowl 56. All of our coverage presented by our friends at the Maryland Lottery. We're letting ourselves play. We'll be getting out on the Maryland Crab Cake Tour in a couple of weeks on March 4th and bringing it back home to Canton to Mama's on the Half Shell. I am Nestor. We are WNST, AM 1570. Towson, Baltimore. We never stop talking. Baltimore, positive.